Chapter 33. Clemency. Clemency. C-L-E-M-E-N-C-Y. To show forbearance, compassion, or forgiveness in judging or punishing. Leniency. Mercy. Late Middle English. From Latin, clementia. From clemens, clement, clement. Kurama wakes up more slowly and more comfortably than he has since bolting from Konoha with Naruto in his arms. He's sprawled out on the thick mattress, warm and well-rested, with a pleasant, drowsy lassitude that seeped all the way down to his bones. A heavy arm is draped across his back, fingers curled lightly against his side, and he smiles a little to himself, shifting and stretching lazily. Sunlight is slanting through the bedroom window, unusual for Kiri, but gloriously warm. And if he listens, he can hear Naruto and Fu laughing beyond the door. He feels unexpectedly good. It's not just the sex, though that was very interesting, and Kurama can see why Naruto and Sasuke did it so much. It's also the release of tension. The lack of urge to pack up and run before the hunters get to him. Even if they do come, 8 out of 9 Jinchuriki know him, know Naruto. Naruto has connections with others like him. There's little risk of him becoming that depressed, lonely, unhappy child again. Yugito, Roshi, Han, Utakata, even Yagura, they'll all prevent it. Just knowing that makes everything that came before worthwhile. Without bothering to be subtle about it, Kurama picks up Zabuza's arm and drops it to the side, then rolls over and swings his legs out of bed. Zabuza grumbles audibly, snagging a pillow and pulling it over his head in clear protest of getting up. And Kurama snorts. "Lazy layabout," he challenges. "It's not what you said last night," the swordsman counters, unmoving. "Bring me coffee." "Fuck no, get it yourself." Kurama dodges the swat of his hand with a low laugh, stooping to find the clothes they'd tossed to the side. Since his pack is still in the room he's been sharing with the kids, he pulls them on, drags a hand through his hair to get the worst of the tangles out, and slips out the door. "Morning, Kurama-ni!" Naruto says brightly from where he's sprawled on his stomach, drawing colorful pictures on what looks like seal paper. Fu is sitting next to him, clearly supervising.
"Did you switch rooms?"
"Just for last night," Kurama tells him, crouching down to ruffle his hair and offering Fu a smile. "Sleep well, Kit?"
"Yeah, Yukito-ni told us a story about a princess with really long hair. Everybody kept climbing it, though. And I said I would punch them for it. She got mad at me, but Gaara liked it, so she got better."
For all of Yugito's sensibility, she's secretly very much a fan of fairy tales and princesses. Kurama chuckles, rising to his feet. "I'm sure she was just annoyed. Don't worry about it." Naruto beams at him.
"I'm not. She said tonight she'd tell us a more exciting story if we didn't like princesses and stuff."
Hopefully, Yugito will remember that most of her audience is under 10, and therefore not quite up to hearing about bloody historical battles. "Sounds good," is all Kurama says, though. He tugs lightly on a lock of Fu's green hair, then heads for the bathroom to take a quick shower and get some fresh clothes. 10 minutes later, when he wanders into the kitchen, it's to find Yagura and Mei arguing at the table, talking right over top of an aggravated Jiraiya, Han lurking near the doorway with his head ducked down to keep from hitting the ceiling, and Roshi folding omelets. Utakata is filling bowls with rice, Fuji planted hopefully between his feet, and Momiji lying on the floor 2 inches behind his heels. "Begging's terrible for your image," Kurama tells the foxes, amused. "You don't look like fearsome fox summons. You look like hungry rats." Fuji sniffs pointedly, not deigning to respond. But her brother lets out a yipping laugh and rises, shrinking as he goes. He leaps up, claws catching on Kurama's tunic, and Kurama boosts him the rest of the way onto his shoulder. The silver fox curls around his neck, draping his tails over Kurama's shoulder, and wrinkles his nose. "You smell like swordsman," he complains. "I showered," Kurama retorts. He glances at Roshi and Utakata, but Utakata just smiles and offers him a cup of tea. "Why don't you sit down?" the boy asks. "We're almost done here." Hardly about to turn down hot food that's been prepared for him, without having to hunt it himself, Kurama removes himself from the kitchen, heading for the table. Mei and Yagura are getting louder, but mostly just insulting each other now, so he can't tell what sparked the argument. He's just about to ask Jiraiya, since, from the look on his face, he's been present for the whole thing, when he rounds the corner of the table and pulls up short, staring at the creature sitting on the chair cushion. A pug, short and squat, with a blue vest and a Konoha hitayate. Lazy eyes flicker to Kurama, then widen sharply, just as Kurama's narrow. "Oh, hey!" Jiraiya says cheerfully, clearly happy for a distraction from the two bickering Kirinin. "I actually found us some reliable backup for when we head for the mountain's graveyard. I've known Hatake since he was a brat, and if he picked the squad, fuck you, no," Kurama says promptly, and feels Momiji shift on his shoulder, the prick of sharp claws digging in preparation. "Really, no. I'm not letting the damn freak squad within 10 miles of Naruto. Try again." Jiraiya's face does something weird, though Kurama doesn't care enough to identify that expression. "Freak squad?" he repeats, sounding dubious. Kurama crosses his arms over his chest, glaring at Pakkun. "Yes, the freak squad. They've been on my goddamn tail since I grabbed Naruto from Konoha, and they're a pain in the ass. I am not working with 2.5 Uchiha and a baby Mokuton user." "My point, exactly," Yagura snaps, though it's directed at Mei rather than Jiraiya. "Kiri just got out of an Uchiha's grasp. I'm not inviting another one in." "You can't leave them camped outside the gate, you infantile brat," Mei snaps back. "Kiri is already in a precarious enough position thanks to all the backlash against our bloodlines and you going insane for the last 6 years. Konoha is the strongest hidden village. You can't insult them like that." "There are currently 9 Jinchuriki in Kiri, so reassess. We are holding all the power at the moment, you old maid harpy. And if you even threaten to use it, the state of our international relations will never recover. Pissing off every other country at the same time is not a good idea, even for a pubescent little jerkwad like you." So that's what the argument was about. "Can you stop shouting?" Kurama snaps, and it's only partially accidental when his control wavers, the full force of his chakra crashing over them for just an instant. It shuts them both up immediately, though, so Kurama counts it as a win. He glowers at the two of them, then turns back to Pakkun, who doesn't look nearly as impressed as he should. "You, what the hell does Kakashi think he's doing coming here?" Pakkun arches his brow in a gesture that he must have picked up from his summoner. "Boss thinks he's doing what the Hokage ordered him to. He's got a message for you from the 3 Kages currently in Konoha. You're gonna want to read it." With a high-pitched snarl, Momiji launches himself from Kurama's shoulders, landing on the edge of the table and peering over to bare his pointy teeth at the pug. "Kurama-sama has better things to do than listen to you," he snarls, "or your bastard of a summoner." Rolling his eyes, Kurama sets his tea down and scoops the fox up, cradling him in his arms as a low, continuous growl rumbles through the Reynard, and his five tails bristle angrily. He turns his glare on Jiraiya and snaps, "Kakashi attacked me when I tried to hug Naruto. I'm not inclined to give him a chance to drag the kid back to Konoha against his will." Jiraiya raises his hand in a placating gesture. "Look, if the Hokage sent him with a message, it's important. And if we are going to throw ourselves headlong at Akatsuki the way I know you're planning, we are going to need all the backup we can get. Kakashi is one of Konoha's best. Give him a chance." Kurama really doesn't feel inclined to. Since three of the last four times they've been within 100 yards of each other, they've come to blows. And the remaining time doesn't even count, since Fuji was in the middle of getting them all the hell away from their pursuers. But he's forgotten, he supposes, that Kakashi has a claim on Naruto too. That he does now and will in the future, and that he's one of the precious people that his Naruto sent him back to save. Without Kakashi the first time round, Naruto might never have been a shinobi. Certainly wouldn't have been the same kind of shinobi. If he wants to take the logical angle, too, there's always the fact that as far as backup goes, he could do a hell of a lot worse than the Freak Squad, given Akatsuki's current members. Itachi is more than capable of facing Orochimaru. Tenzo will probably do decently against Kisame. Shisui is a wild card, but probably strong in his own right. And Kakashi is just about the best person to face Obito, since they share an eye. Pain will, of course, be a pain in the ass, pun fully intended. But with Jiraiya around, maybe they can manage to beat some sense into him. That leaves Sasori and Kakuzu, and Kurama feels fairly confident in his chances, even fighting both of them together. Now that his chakra is completely his own again, it won't be anything he can't handle. "Fine," he says shortly, and doesn't look at Jiraiya. He keeps his eyes on Momiji as he scratches behind the Reynard's ears, earning a gravel-rough purr for his efforts. "But I'm meeting them at the gate, and if they even think about causing trouble, I'm kicking them out on their asses faster than you can say, gone." "I'll come with you," Yagura agrees immediately, rising to his feet and snatching up his staff. "Mei, you can sit on Momiji. I don't care." "On that note," Mei says with a lioness's smile, rounding on Kurama, "you should be aware that I'm judging you for your taste, Uzumaki. Also, is he as good in bed as Amayuri says he is?"
"I've never fucking slept with Amayuri,"
Zabuza grunts, leaning around Kurama to steal his cooling tea.
"If she says otherwise, she's lying."
Mei sighs dramatically. "I'll get a straight answer one of these days, Momichi."
"Not by asking Kurama, you won't."
He smirks at Kurama, who raises an unimpressed eyebrow in return.
"Something happening, Firecracker?"
"Keep calling me that, and the only thing that's happening is you getting your face introduced to my foot," Kurama retorts. "Kapin and Kakashi is at the gates. Yagura and I were going to go let him in." Interest sparks in Zabuza's eyes, a hell of a lot more violent than the kind he showed last night.
"Konoha's Kapinin? Always wanted to see how I'd do against that Sharingan of his. Want some company?"
"Not particularly," Yagura says, eyeing him. "Are you going to pick a fight?"
"Me?"
Zabuza gives him a bullshit grin, showing off his filed teeth.
"Never. I'll be an angel, Mizukage-sama."
Yagura's expression says he doesn't buy it for a moment, but he still inclines his head. "Very well. Pakun, was it? Which gate are they waiting at?"
"Eastern tip of the city, Mizukage-sama," the pug says, more or less politely, and leaps down to follow them as they head for the door.
Kurama lets the other two men slide past him, then detours into the main room.
"I'm going out for a sec, Kit,"
he says, crouching down next to Naruto again. "You good to stay here with everyone else?" Naruto pauses, halfway through a drawing of what is probably meant to be Fu with butterfly wings, and looks up, expression shifting to faint worry.
"You're gonna be okay, Kurama-ni?"
"Yeah."
Kurama smiles at him. I just have to meet someone really quickly, but I'll be back as soon as I can.
I'll keep an eye on him, Kurama-ni,
Fu offers tearfully.
Yukito said she was going to wake up Gaara, too, so we can all play together again. Right, Naruto-chan?
Right!
Naruto cheers.
If you come back before we're done, you can be on my team, Kurama-ni.
Kurama chuckles and leans in, kissing his forehead briefly before he rises to his feet. Well, with a promise like that, I'll have to, won't I? Both kids wave, and Kurama waves back, then heads for where Zabuza is leaning against the door.
Shame the brats have you by the short and curlies,
the swordsman says idly, though his grin is anything but.
You might be more interesting if they didn't.
Right, Kurama says, completely unimpressed. And the reason you're hovering here totally isn't because Haku just walked into the kitchen. You tell him goodbye like a good mother bear?
Fuck you,
Zabuza spits, one hand snapping towards his sword. Kurama grins back, showing teeth, and... If you two are done posturing about which one is the better mother, Yagura says, clearly annoyed, we have a team of shinobi to meet. Zabuza gives him a short, sharp glare, then turns on his heel and stalks past.
Watch yourself, he growls. That hat still looks tempting.
If anything, Yagura's expression gets even less impressed as he turns to follow the swordsman. I invite you to try, Momichi. You didn't have a chance against me when I was brainwashed and only able to access a fraction of Isobu's power. You haven't a hope as I am now.
Zabuza mutters something that might be, we'll see about that. But he hardly says it loud enough to count.
The only reason Kurama catches it is because he has fox ears.
He's not overly smart, is he?
Momiji mutters, wriggling out of Kurama's arms and climbing up onto his shoulders again. Kurama snorts. Has a tendency to think with his damn sword, from what I've seen. That earns him a happy chatter from the Reynard. Pun intended? Pun definitely intended. Grinning, Kurama picks up his pace a little, falling into step with Yagura as they head out of the forest and into the village proper. He glances down at the Jinchiriki for a moment, then asks cautiously, "There gonna be problems with you letting all of us stay here?" Yagura hums, inclining his head to a group of shinobi as they bow. The best thing about being both a Kage and a Jinchiriki is that no one is certain which position supersedes the other, he says, and there's a hint of humor in his voice and the curve of his lips. In this case, I'll let them assume it's my ties as a Jinchiriki that are making me host you. And if they raise a fuss, I'll throw a fit and wreck whatever room we're in. Kurama supposes that a Jinchiriki losing their temper is something the rest of the world tries to avoid whenever possible. And thinking of the other Kage's potential reaction makes him laugh. That's one method of getting your way, he says. I think I approve. I'm glad. Yagura is smiling, just a little. Especially since Mei keeps telling me to be careful. She doesn't understand. Only a Jinchuriki would. Kurama can't argue with that. Not really. Even monsters like Zabuza can't quite understand the constant fear and hatred directed at a human container and the Bijuu inside of them, or the abuse they suffer in the name of strengthening their village. For all that he endured, Naruto was actually one of the lucky ones. It's going to be different now, though. Kurama won't let any of them go back to the way things were, even if he has to wreck a village or two to see to it. And once they see just how willing he is to do that, he thinks the Kages will get the picture quickly enough. It can only be for their own benefit, after all. Kakashi isn't a man who feels fear in the face of anything but losing those dear to him. He can count the number of times something besides loss has truly scared him on one hand and have five fingers left over. And this? Well, this isn't exactly adding to that, which probably proves a couple of Genma's more pointed accusations about elite jonin idiocy correct. Still, Even knowing what he does, it's hard for Kakashi to look at the short, grumpy redhead stalking through Kiri's gates and feel anything but vague amusement, edged with a faint pang of nostalgia, for when Kushina wore that particular look. It usually ended with Minato getting beaten over the head, sometimes with him just flat out getting his ass kicked, and Kakashi always got a healthy amount of glee out of it. Here and now, it doesn't feel all that different, which is a little disconcerting, even with the addition of an even shorter boy carrying a hook-ended staff and the tall, looming figure of one of the seven swordsmen, blade slung over his shoulder. "Oh, thank goodness," Pakkun mutters, trotting up to him and sitting down at his feet. "Message delivered, boss." "Thanks," Kakashi says, giving him a crinkle-eyed smile, though he keeps Kurama in his peripheral vision just in case the redhead starts swinging. "That's all I needed, Pakkun." The pug huffs, but vanishes in a puff of smoke, and Kakashi turns his attention to Kurama. Surprisingly, the man is hanging back, and the blonde boy is approaching at a brisk pace. It's only when Kakashi gets a good look at the stitch-like scar on his left cheek and his pale purple eyes that he recognizes the Mizu Kage and forces himself to bow politely. Damn it. But if Kurama has Yagura as an ally, and Kiri is currently entertaining 9 Jinchuriki, including their Kage, it's no wonder the others coughed up a pardon so quickly.
"Hatake Kakashi," Yagura says, cool and assessing. "What business do you have in Kirigakure?"
Political posturing is Kakashi's least favorite thing ever. Still, he forces his tone to politeness and slowly withdraws the Hokage's message from his flak jacket pocket. "Mizukage-sama, the Hokage, Kazekage, and Raikage sent a request that you attend an upcoming Kage summit that's to be hosted in Konoha. I was also asked to rendezvous with the Sanin Jiraiya and give Uzumaki Kurama a pardon for all actions taken. The Hokage invite him to return to Konoha if he wishes to, along with any who might want to accompany him." Gray blonde brows rise sharply, and Yagura turns, casting a speaking look at Kurama. Kurama blinks back, uncrossing his arms from his chest, and takes a step forward. "Already?" he asks. "They pardoned me? No more chasing us across the damned country?" Kakashi tips one shoulder in a shrug.
"I'd assume that's why they sent us to deliver the message," he says mildly. "Proof of goodwill. Will you accept?"
Kurama shoots him a scathing look as he all but snatches the scroll from Kakashi's fingertips. A quick scan of the words makes him grin, showing that bare edge of sharp teeth. And then he re-rolls it. "Perfect," he says with some satisfaction. "Going to be an asshole again when I try to hug my nephew, Hatake?" It takes effort not to wince, though Kakashi supposes he deserved that. Because of that, he meets Kurama's angry red gaze as evenly as he's able, and says,
"I misunderstood. I'm sorry."
One blink, then another, and the anger abates, muffled behind surprise. Looking away, Kurama reaches up to touch the silver fox perched on his shoulder, and says gruffly, "Understandable. But next time you try to take Naruto from me, I'll feed you your intestines. Got it?" Compared to the threat he made to eat them back when Kakashi's squad first captured him, that's a marked improvement as far as levels of violence go. So Kakashi takes it as the peace offering it's probably, maybe, intended to be. "Of course," he says, and doesn't waver in the face of Kurama's clear suspicion. Yagura clears his throat, and when Kakashi turns to look at him, he says,
"I'm going to have to ask that the Uchiha in your party keep their Sharingan deactivated while in Kiri. I assume yours is in a constant state of activation, since it's not natural?"
Kakashi tries his best not to stiffen and ignores the way Shisui, Tenzo, and Itachi are trading glances behind him. For a moment, all he can see is Kiri Nin closing in under a full moon, Rin with a ghastly smile and his hand through her chest. The first moment of his manga Kyo activating as she died. He clenches his hands into fists and forces himself not to look down. Even if he sees blood on them, like he knows he will, there isn't anything he can do about it right now. It's hardly something new for him either. He should be used to it by now. "You're correct," he manages to get out, though the words feel like they're strangling him. "If those are your conditions for entering Mizukage-sama, my team will follow them as long as there's no direct threat to their safety." "Agreed, then." Yagura turns on his heel, waving one of the guards closer. "Secure rooms for the Konoha delegation, preferably close to where the Sanden Jiraiya is staying. Then locate Ao and tell him to arrange a guard to accompany me to the summit. I would prefer to have at least one of the swordsmen with me." The Kunoichi salutes, then vanishes in a whirl of mist, leaving her partner to eye Kakashi's squad warily as they approach. Kakashi does his best to look non-threatening, short of pulling out his Icha-Icha. He can just imagine the Hokage's reaction to him doing so in front of another Kage. And while Sarutobi is generally accommodating of his habits, that would be pushing things a little too far. It's a definite regret, though. Kakashi is practically suffering withdrawals right now. A sharp, "Leave it, shark face," brings Kakashi's attention back to his surroundings, and he glances over to see Kurama has waylaid the swordsman and is giving him a narrow look. "I seem to recall you used the term angel barely 10 minutes ago. Ready to prove yourself a liar?" The big man huffs. "You gonna step in instead, firecracker? You know exactly what I want." Then he leers at Kurama. Kakashi is very confused right now. "You also said if we sparred, we'd end up fucking on the training ground," Kurama says flatly, and Tenzo makes a quiet sound like he's dying. "It's not happening, Sabuza. Curiosity satisfied." "I wasn't good enough to tempt you into another time?" Zabuza grins at him. "Better let me try again and see if I can do better the second time around." "No flirting," Yagura cuts in, sounding aggrieved. "The other night was bad enough. If I want violent soppiness, I'll talk to Mei. Kurama, do you intend to go after Akatsuki before or after you return to Konoha?" Distracted, Kurama turns away, leaving Kakashi to eye Zabuza a little disbelievingly. Because that's Momichi Zabuza, Demon of the Hidden Mist. And Kurama can't have been in Kiri more than a handful of days. Just how fast does he move? Still, it's a question to ask later. He keeps most of his attention on Kurama as the redhead answers. "Before. The approach is easier from here. I'll take a ship to Frost Country, then another to Moon Country, and head straight for the mountains, graveyard. With any luck, they won't see me coming." "Us," Yagura corrects. Then, catching the expression that flickers over Kurama's face, adds, "Not me. I'm the Mizukage and have a village on the edge of civil war to rebuild. But that's why the Toad Sage is bringing these four in, isn't it? And somehow I don't see Roshi or Han allowing you to leave them behind." Kurama's expression turns mulish, and he stalks after Yagura as the Mizukage heads back into the village. No fucking way am I taking Jinchuriki to face down Akatsuki. How stupid do you think I am? I'm not prana breath over there. "Hey," Zabuza protests, though he sounds closer to amused than insulted. Kurama waves a dismissive hand at him. "Oh, shut up. Your sword's more reasonable than you are, and that's a bad sign." "You weren't complaining about my sword last night." "Keep bringing that up and you won't have one. At all. Either of them." Kakashi resists the urge to look heavenward. "Allies. Yeah. This partnership is going to go splendidly. He's so excited. So. Gods, is it too early to retire? Maybe Itachi has the right idea."